With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Bravo. With Lori Lattimore of Oakland, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete.
That's right. This is Something Something Broncos with Lori Lattimore Volkman coming to you live from her mother's pantry between the Golden Grahams and the Duncan Hines Brownies. Aunt Jemima is here. Tim Lynch also joining us. And I am Jess Place from beautiful snow-covered New Hampshire. So it is our final episode before our final episode. I mean, really, it's been over for a couple weeks, so it's our second to final episode of the 2018 season. We've got the Chargers coming up. We just got our ass handed to us by the Oakland Raiders.
4-11 Oakland Raiders. You need to note that.
Remember when we were like, ha ha, they're tanking. It's terrible.
Those are the good old days.
What does it mean when you get beat by a team that's tanking?
Checkmate?
Battleship? What's that game? You sunk my battleship.
Like, I knew our ankles were getting wet, but it wasn't until the Raiders beat us that we were dead. So where do we start? Like, it's really, I mean, there's so much awful that came out of this game on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, everybody. Where do you start? Records that end? Do you start with Philip Lindsay? Do you start with first back-to-back losing seasons in my lifetime? Where do you go, Lori?
I think we start with the way Tim did it on Twitter, which was, what a shit show that game was. It's terrible. It was Christmas Eve. I had planned to start watching it around the second quarter. When I saw the score and I saw the MHR Twitter feed, I was like, nope, screw that. Not ruining my Christmas. So I didn't even watch.
Yeah, it was a shit show. Like, really, I mean, as shit shows go, all right, so we're already going to have to put the explicit tag on this. As shit shows go, it's like that's what it was. It was like, oh, crap, it's going to be that kind of game. And it was. Like, there was no hope. There was nothing to see. I mean, it was just pain and suffering from beginning to end, and it was so hard to watch.
Yeah, I just think back to, what, 3.5 weeks ago, the Broncos coming off a win over the Steelers are 6-6. They're in the playoff hunt. And you're like, wow, is this team actually going to start living up to the play that they've had almost all season long? They competed with every powerhouse in the AFC, with the Chiefs, in the NFC, at the Rams, the Texans. They were close games every time. And then they just come out just freaking, oh, God, the last three games. I'm so ready to move on. I think the team is ready to move on. I think, when I say the team, I mean the players. And it's just, it's 2019. They were in the top five in DVOA 3.5 weeks ago. This team has talent. I don't care what people say that, oh, this team doesn't have talent. They don't have talent. Yes, they have talent. They've been playing freaking well all year long. They just come up short. And when you come up short, I blame the coaches in those situations. And I'm just ready to move on. That's where I'm at.
They have a ton of talent. And part of the reason they come up short is the one position they really don't have a ton of talent is at quarterback. And that hurt us too. I mean, coaching was terrible. but our quarterback play was such an underwhelming experience. Case Keenum did not live up to expectations. He couldn't ever really get anything done.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, but I'm also feeling like if he had a coaching staff that knew how to scheme smartly,
yes,
it's
that's
so
true.
Predictable.
He's not a terrible quarterback. He needs help, and that comes from scheming, and that comes from good coaching and good play calling. And yes, I totally agree. He did not have that. Not like, consistently, you know, not every game, not enough throughout a game to have the right plays called at the right time.
Oh yeah, I agree. And it's maddening. And yeah, that's why I'm kind of on board with if they can't find a quarterback in the draft without reaching and drafting another freaking Paxton Lynch, then stick with Case Keenum and go into the 2020 draft going for a quarterback. Just, you know, sometimes it's just not the right time to take a risk. And if they get a good coaching staff in, you can win with Keenum. The Vikings freaking proved you can win with Case Keenum. And the fact that this team is 6-9 shows that the coaching staff just isn't up to the task. It's time to freaking get rid of them.
Well, all right. So before we go down the rabbit hole of how terrible the coaching staff is, that is probably going to get fired like en masse in the next 3 days, because this is Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern when we are recording this. So Vance Joseph still has his job. Bill Musgrave still has his job. Joe Woods, I believe, is at the Waffle House. However, who do we believe could stick around? Could anybody from the staff feasibly make it?
Taylor came out with a post this morning. The offensive line coaches have done an extraordinary job with the talent they had, with the injuries they had. And the other guy, the only other guy that I would actually really thinks deserves to stick around in the next regime is the Bear wrestler, Bill Kohler. You know, he's got his defensive line playing well, and his players still respect him after all these years and still play hard for him. Considering all the problems this team had with offensive line coaching, they'd be insane to let these guys go after the job they did this year. Those are the two that I think they should just find a protective shield and tell the next guys that are coming in, saying you really got to consider keeping these three coaches on their staff.
I think you could add in the wide receivers and running backs coach too. Philip Lindsay did great. Royce Freeman's done well. Even Devontae Booker has done better.
I agree with you. I think the running backs coach, and it kills me. I don't know his name. I mean, it was Eric Studisville forever, and then it was
Coach Modkins.
Modkins. We need to know his name. Like, why have we, like, Studisville was like, he was so great. And Billy Turner from back in the day was like, the running backs coach, you know? And now we don't know this new guy who allowed Philip Lindsay to tear it up. And then also the special teams coach. The specter of Brock Olivo has been exercised from the valley. Special teams for the first time in a few years. I mean, even going back to like the Trenton Holiday year. I would say they did pretty well this year.
Well, I have a little bit of mixed bag news for you. Last year, they finished 31st in DVOA on special teams. This year, they are 27th in DVOA on special teams.
Well, they moved up. That's improvement.
Yes. I'm just saying our bar might be a little low. Maybe they do need a new special teams coordinator.
And we got rid of Marquette King. That was a positive. There haven't been, you know, the muff punts and we haven't been running it out of the end zone, you know, to get tackled on the 2 yard line as much. And so it's those big moments that we have been lacking that makes me think, oh, well, maybe special teams have been doing well. While, you know, the run backs may not have been as grand as we had hoped or as other teams have had, there are those moments where we're not fumbling the ball after every kickoff. And that means something.
To be fair to your point, until last week when they gave up that 99-yard FUBAR kick return, they were near the top middle part of the the rankings. So they dropped significantly after last week. So to be fair to your point, they did rank a lot better until they went FUBAR with the Raiders.
Well, I think even if you don't look at the DVOA rating, it did feel better. I think Jess has a really good point. We didn't have the mistakes that we were constantly talking about, the muffed punts and the tons of missed tackles. We were pinning them back a lot. The decision to get rid of Marquette King and the decision to bring in a guy who had really not ever played for 2 years, he ended up being a great punter for us. And McManus got back on track. I mean, I think Tom McMahon deserves a second look to stay on the team too. Compared to last year, maybe the bar is a little low, but not only did we not have big mistakes, we did make improvements. Part of it is we didn't have the personnel for a really awesome run back for a touchdown. You know, we need some of the players to do some of that, but we didn't have mistakes. And that's, as you said earlier, that's coaching. So the coach, I think, deserves some credit for making our special teams at least not be completely sucky.
Kind of looking back on 2017, like, oh, that was so much worse. It's like, we have won one more game this year than last year. Like, where was the improvement?
But we competed better this year. You know,
yeah, no 52-20 games.
Well, we had the Jets game, but
they only scored 34. Okay.
Right. We didn't have a shutout loss. We played really tough against some of the top teams in the NFL. Our offense just couldn't overcome enough points, which was maddening.
How is it that we're so dapper when it comes to the elite teams of the AFC? And then when it comes to playing the Browns, the 49ers, the Jets, we like roll up with our pants around our ankles. Like
coaching.
Why are we playing coaching down to the competition?
That's all coaching, man. 100%. That's why I've been done with this coaching staff for a couple weeks.
It's also injuries, though. The Browns game and the 49ers game did have some key players out that clearly hurt us. Without Chris Harris Jr., without Emmanuel Sanders, I think those games could have been a little different. I agree. I was livid after the Browns game. I felt like the decision-making in that game was so stupid.
We went for it on 4th-and-19 against the Raiders.
I know.
Not 4th-and-1 against the Browns.
We should have all expected. That's exactly how Vance Joseph is coached all year. He reacts to whatever went wrong the week before. He just does the opposite the next week, even if that's not the right decision. It's like he has no idea what is the right decision in the moment. He's just reacting to what didn't go right the last time, so I'm going to do the opposite of that. It's just,
yeah, that's,
it's totally the come on, man.
Come on, man. That's the
come on.
Well, so we have one game left. We're probably not going to win it. It could be ugly. How do you watch a game like this?
Drunk.
Well, I for one plan on taking up smoking cigarettes.
Don't smoke cigarettes. It's bad for you. Jess was kidding.
I'm kidding. So yeah, it's going to be a terrible game. We're going to lose and we're going to be embarrassed and everyone's going to leave at halftime. I don't know if I really want to watch it. I haven't missed a Broncos game in a very long time. I watched them all. If I don't watch them, I certainly listen to them on the radio. And there's just like what good can come out of watching this game? Why do we want to watch this?
I have to watch it because I have to blog about it.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it because I'm with my family, which is, how I became a Broncos fan. And we only get together to see a game pretty much once a year. And so even though it's going to suck to have a bad team playing a meaningless game, it's actually going to be the reason we all watch football initially is it's just fun to be around people who are cheering for the same team you are, anticipating what they could do, hoping that the next play is a good play. It's easy to lose perspective, and I'm not going to be like the Pollyanna, oh, it's just football, everybody should love to watch it together. But truthfully, at the end of the day, if you're around a bunch of people that love the Broncos, you kind of take it in perspective we're not going to win anything this year. It's not going to be anything fabulous. But hey, we can have a few beers and cheer for the team we love and hope we see some great plays. Then it's not so bad. I mean, it's not awful. It could be fun. You know, maybe Case Keenum will do something. Maybe we'll see some young guys play that we haven't really seen and we'll get to see if they're any good. I mean, there's things to watch.
Just don't screw our draft position, all right?
Come on, you people in your draft position.
Years ago, the Broncos were, I believe, 7-8, and they played the Chargers in week 17. And I was in San Diego visiting family because that's where I'm from. And they're all, at the time, they were all Chargers fans. Now they all hate the Chargers, but that's, you know, whatever. And I found a Broncos bar in San Diego that was called Chiefs Bar and Grill, which it's like, I don't even know how to explain how confusing this all was because it was packed with Charger fans. It's a Broncos bar and it's called Chiefs Bar and Grill. But they had like old Mile High Stadium seating in there in the VIP section, which I thought was really cool. And I proceeded to watch the Broncos lose like 52-21, and Mike Shanahan got fired the next day. So here I am, week 17 this year, and, you know, they're playing the Chargers, and Vance Joseph is probably going to get fired the day after. So, you know, NFL is cyclical. Everything comes in
cycles.
Now, do
you think it's hard for Vance Joseph to game plan while they're scraping his name off the outside of his door?
They probably scraped it off 2 weeks ago, and he hasn't been able to find his office.
It's like Office Space. He's like, "Can I take my officially branded Denver Broncos stapler with me?" You lost to the Browns. You don't get to keep the Broncos stapler.
The irony is, as you said, you know, game planning.
He is running Madden simulations right now as we speak. He's up late in Dove Valley playing Madden.
That might actually work. Madden has a coach assist, right? Just turn on that coaching assist.
Like, we got to find the boomstick. We got to find the boomstick. No. So just an observation. As we said earlier, Lori is broadcasting live from the pantry at her mom's house. There is one box of Cheerios, one box of Chex, and two boxes of Lucky Charms. Could it be that everyone is going to eat Lucky Charms in the hope of a Denver Broncos victory?
Damn straight we are.
I can't stop staring at the chocolate cake myself. But
okay, so predictions for the Chargers game. How do you think we're going to do? Tim, you go first.
I predict that this team will come forth and disappoint. 6-10 means top 10, and I'm okay with that at this point. So this whole season's been disappointing. It doesn't really matter. If they win, I'll be happy. If they lose, I'll be happy. And that's really where I'm at. I'm not any less of a fan because, you know, I don't give a shit. It's just one of those things. It's over, and everybody knows it's over. Freaking Philip Rivers, seeing him sad and all like, "Woo, we got swept by the Broncos." That's perfect. I'm okay with that. But if they lose and they're 6-10, they get a top 10 pick, I'm okay with that too. So bring it on. Bring on the Chargers. Let's go.
It would be nice to screw with the Chiefs with a victory. I mean, if we let the Chargers win and the Chiefs lose, right? Don't the Chargers take over first place in the AFC West?
Yes. They have to lose to the Raiders at Arrowhead, right?
Look at Lori getting all freaking making us feel bad about hoping for the Chargers to make the Chiefs screw up.
No, not at all. Except I'd rather the Broncos win and kind of just screw Philip Rivers. I think my ultimate scenario would be that the Broncos play really well, the defense plays great, and they pummel Philip Rivers, and the offense has a great day where the people score and Keenum doesn't throw any interceptions. But ultimately, the Chargers play just a little bit better and they win so that we get the draft pick. We screw the Chiefs, but the Broncos go out feeling like they played a good game and it's not depressing and demoralizing.
We could be as high as 7 or as low as 12. Is that correct?
As low as 16.
Oh, as low as 16.
Yeah. No, there's so many 5-10 teams right now. We need a bunch of 5-10 teams to win just to get in the top 10. If the Broncos finish 6-10 with their strength of schedule, as long as a couple of the 5-10 teams win, which they should, then they'll be in contention for a top 10 pick. And really, when you look at the 2019 draft, there's so much talent on defense. And the Broncos will have a significant opportunity to really just keep that defense going. That's this team's identity. So I don't really care about a quarterback because there's no quarterbacks coming out of the draft that I really am excited about. So go get that defense. Go make that defense, make it a dogfight every game, and then hope Case Keenum can be schemed into winning a few games here or there.
I think that's where I'm at. Bless your heart. Mostly. Bless your heart.
I wish that was the case. I just... before the season started, I was like, Case Keenum, he's found his way. He could be Tony Romo, or he could be Brad Johnson. He's not Joe Flacco either. We have him for another year unless we find some sucker we can get rid of him with. God bless. He's terrible, and he's ours, for better or for worse. He's like, I bought a house in Denver, and at the time I was like, good, that's commitment. Now I'm like, oh God, he's not going anywhere.
He's not staying here more than next year, I'm sure.
And, he's a grew up a Bronco fan and all that stuff. And somebody said he's not going to be the Keenum from the Vikings, but he's also not going to be the Keenum before the Vikings. He's going to be somewhere in between. And if you look at his stats, he's right there in the middle between the Keenum of the Vikings and the Keenum of the pre-Vikings. So he regressed to the mean, and the mean is just an average runner-of-the-mill average quarterback. I mean, I know a lot of statistics say he's the worst quarterback in the NFL, but I kind of blame that more on the coaching staff more than anything at this point. I'd rather the Broncos wait till 2020 to pursue a rookie quarterback, because that draft's going to be so stacked with quarterbacks. I'm not excited about anybody coming out right now.
In which case, you probably hope the Broncos have a bad season next year, too, so that they're in a good position to get one of those top quarterbacks in 2020.
Why did you have to say that?
I'm with you, though. I feel like we roll with Case next year and we go for 2020. But I don't want to have another 5-11, 6-10 year next year just so we can be in the right top 5, top 10 to get that quarterback of the future. But we might have to be, because that's how it goes in the draft.
My whole mentality was get to 500, have a season that's not a disaster, build on this season, get better, and then in 2020, trade, bet, whatever the hell farm you've got, John Elway, get up into the top 5, get a freaking quarterback. Because 2020 is the, I got to get a guy that's going to be the future, and you start him week freaking one. None of this, oh, let's start him behind a veteran. No, throw him to the wolves. Let's see where it goes. That's where I'm at with the next 2 years with this team.
I like that approach too.
It's at that point that I'm going to segue into this week's mystery question.
Yes.
If you could roll into 2019 with one quarterback, Trevor Siemian, Case Keenum, or Brock Osweiler, who would it be?
Terrible question.
I mean, the answer is Case Keenum. Right, Lori?
I think it's Case. I would maybe think about Brock for a minute, but I wouldn't think for a second about Trevor Siemian.
You would think Brock only in October, because Brocktober is a glory.
That's right. Amazing.
It is totally amazing. But after that, you got to go back to Case Keenum.
That wasn't a fair question, but it's, going into the Chargers game, where quarterback play is probably going to be very poor, take a moment and just think about that. Who would I rather?
In February, before we had, when we were having all those discussions about, are we going to try to trade up for Baker Mayfield? Do we want Sam Darnold? What about Josh Allen? Is it going to be Kirk Cousins or Case Keenum? I put a tweet out there where I had a gif of some guy running naked down the street, and I said, if Case Keenum ends up being the guy that takes this franchise to the playoffs, I will run naked in Mile High in December. And a few weeks ago, I had somebody remind me of that tweet and say, you better start getting prepared to get to Mile High in December. And I was like, oh shit. And 2 weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I was right. There was no reason to worry about Case Keenum being the guy. Yeah.
I'd be more worried about that guy that reminded you. He sat on that for what, 8 months?
Oh my gosh. Well, that draws an end to our something something broadcast here before the last game, before the last game. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Jezru. Lori, you are?
At Doc LLV.
And Tim?
At Mile High Report.
And you can read all of us at milehighreport.com, where it's awesome. It's a great fan community. And if you don't know about milehighreport.com, you should. I urge all of you to read and write your opinions in our fan post section.
Beautiful.
Great job, Jess. Good promo.
Thank you.
The Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Bravo. With Lori Lattimore Volk, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete.
All right. So wait, where are you real quick? Are you in your mom's?
I'm in my mom's pantry.
See, this is going to be great.
The Cheerios, the Lucky Charms.
I do. Yeah. I see the Quaker Oats.
Yeah.
I see it all.
I've got it all. Okay.
I'm also three beers in, so.
All right. All right.
Yikes.
This is good.
Hello. I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.